Hey, this is Mike. You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD, where I talk to everybody about anything and everything, a different guest and a different topic every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. Hello and welcome to You Talking to Me right here on the All Talk Radio Network with your host, Big JD. Today, I'm talking to Brad Wiseman, a hockey school instructor, coach, player, and as well, we're going to introduce a hockey mom, Tina Fryer, to the show a little bit later. First of all, I'd like to welcome you to the show, Brad.
Thanks for having me, Big JD.
Let's start by finding out your experience maybe as a player.
I started playing when I was probably about 5 years old in Bothwell, Ontario. Played travel hockey all my life. When I was 14, 15, I moved to Chatham, played AAA hockey. Played that for three or four years.
What exactly, if I just want to stop you for a second, AAA hockey, what is that exactly as opposed to?
AAA mainly is the size of the center you're from. When I lived in Bothwell, it was a D center, 1,000 people. Chatham was 40,000, means it bumped up to a AAA level.
The number of people that played or that are in
population
the...
Population-wise?
Oh, yes. Okay.
And the hockey is... better.
And what got you interested in hockey?
My dad used to coach when he was when I was younger.
Okay.
I'd go to the rink, watch him, and just fell in love with it after that.
Did you ever get, were you pushed into hockey at all, or did you, was it something that you were kind of into just because maybe it was something going on in the family too? And
never pushed into it, just something wanted to do my whole life, and so I did it.
Okay. You played for quite a while as well.
I probably played hockey for about 30 plus years.
And what was the last league that you played in? Was a, or what was the highest rank, or what exactly do you call that? The Pee Wee Bantam, and is that like a league?
No, it's just like different tiers according to your age.
Okay.
And novice is the youngest, up to juvenile. Then there's junior C, junior B, junior A, and I played college hockey for 4 years.
So it's good. Rather be a juvenile hockey player than a juvenile delinquent.
Yes.
Delinquent, keep you off the streets. And I think a lot of hockey moms feel that way and so forth. But what about a little bit about equipment, helmets and things like that? I know like kids obviously have to wear helmet. What about when you get into college hockey and NHL? I don't think it's, is it a requirement in college hockey?
Yes, helmets are mandatory all the way up to NHL now.
Oh, NHL, it's mandatory. What about equipment upkeep, skate sharpening, stuff like that? Is that something that most players would bring to somewhere to get done, or do a lot of people do it on their own? Because I know when I played hockey when I was a kid, we used to have the little stone thing and we'd sharpen our skates with it.
Some people still have those. I guess skate sharpening is a player's preference. Right now, I might get my skate sharpened 2-3 times a year most.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might get theirs once a week.
And it's all dependent on how much you play maybe, or...
Not so much how much you play, just on the preference of how sharp you like them.
Okay. It makes a difference in your skating, in your technique?
Not so much technique, but yeah, skating, I guess.
Okay. What do you think about road hockey or floor hockey?
It's great for kids, young and old, to go out and have fun, exercise, the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to a little bit about family, is what did your parents think about you playing hockey? Was it, you know, obviously with your dad coaching at the time when you were a kid, then, you know, I'm sure he was into you playing and, you know, growing up and stuff like that. It was, everybody was into it kind of in your family, because there's a little more to your family's history as far as hockey. I guess that's your brother played
professionally. My brother played professional hockey in Toronto for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a total of 7 to 8 years with Toronto and a few minor league teams, Houston and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But with the family aspect, we were never pushed into it. We were always encouraged to play if we wanted to, but if we committed to it, we had to play for the whole year. You couldn't quit halfway through if you didn't like it.
Right, right.
So it was no parental pushing, I guess, just a lot of...
Did you guys like play other sports as well? Like, were you in baseball or anything like that? Like, I know a lot of kids sometimes are in more than one league of sport.
Yeah, we both played baseball in the summer. Went to a few hockey schools in the summertime. High school, we played different sports, he and I, so played a variety of sports growing up.
Okay. Are you a big fan of NHL?
Yeah, I do. I love it.
Watch the games, you go to the games? And
haven't been to many games, just tickets are kind of pricey, but watch as much as I can on TV.
What about like college hockey or Ontario Hockey League? Are you into that stuff? Or
Yeah, I went to a few Spitfire games this year. I've been to the University of Michigan for a couple hockey games. It's great hockey. It's I think that's what hockey is. These kids are there to play hockey, not like some of the NHLers are just there for the money aspect. So it's a different type of game, I think.
At the time, like when you were younger, were your parents involved in like volunteer donations, any of that kind of stuff that was going on in the hockey league or anything? Because I personally don't recall like much of that going on when I was a kid, but
I don't recall a lot of fundraising when I was playing either. So
I think I seem to think that there's more of that comes into play now, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But I'd like to move on a little bit to actual hockey school, because you've also been an instructor at a hockey school, or
yeah, it's called PowerPoint Hockey School, owned and operated by Andy Paquette. Helped him out a few years of hockey schools, and just mainly some one-on-one clinics or small group clinics. So I've been on the ice a few times with him, learned a lot from him also.
Did you yourself ever attend hockey school? Or
when I was younger, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Probably when I was 10 to 12, 13 years old, attended a few hockey schools.
And so what got you interested in actually being an instructor, like maybe asked to do it, or was it kind of a natural progression just because you played for so long, or how did that come into play?
I would say probably a natural progression. I've had a lot of great coaches and instructors when I was growing up, and I think I know a little bit about hockey, so I was just trying to give back some of what I learned to some of the younger kids coming up today.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question. Do you feel that you have the skills that you could pass on? So obviously that's something that you were thinking about as well.
Yes.
To help kids and stuff. And what is the age group that you normally instruct?
They vary in ages. We've had ages from 7 to 8 year old groups to 11 to 13 year old groups. So whatever the age group at that particular time was, it was fine.
And it's generally kids that you instruct, or do you
I've instructed a couple adult clinics before, and actually they're really eager to learn too, sometimes more than the kids are.
Yeah. Who would you find easier to teach, the kids or the grown-ups?
Probably the grown-ups. They listen better. The kids' attention spans kind of short and limited, so you gotta be kind of specific and not long-winded with them when you're explaining things.
Right. The older folks are not long-winded themselves, I'd imagine, depending on the age.
No, they're not.
Is there such thing as a hockey college? That's not exactly what this is, a hockey school. Is there such thing as hockey college?
There is a few schools in Ontario, and I know there's one in Saskatchewan. It's called Notre Dame College, I believe it is. It's you go to school, but you're there to play hockey. So you practice every day as you're taking your schoolwork. I believe Rod Brindamore went to school there. And there's a place in Toronto, I think it's St. Mike's College, does the same thing. It's a hockey school, but it's an educational facility.
Is there more of that stuff, would you find in the U.S. than in Canada? Or
I'm not exactly sure. I would think so, but I'm not quite sure.
Your scope is mostly Canadian.
Yes.
The Ontario area, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. Was it normally local kids that you would be instructing and stuff? Or
The hockey schools here, we get kids from Detroit.
Okay.
Detroit area. Mm-hmm. Anywhere's from probably London, Sarnia, Detroit, Essex County.
Now, is that because of like maybe geographically there might not be hockey school like in their area or something? Or is it, or do you find maybe your knowledge of this, that if there's a good hockey school or well-known instructors, maybe that people travel further for the school, or how does that work?
People travel to get the best instruction available.
Okay.
Anyone can say they're going to put on a hockey school just to make money, a money grab. Mm-hmm. But if you actually want to learn, people will travel to where the best instructors are.
So somehow you're the owner of the school, or there'd have to be some type of advertisement as far as who's doing the teaching, who's doing the instruction, what your credentials are and that sort of thing. So that must have
yes.
had to be promoted somehow as well. Is it expensive to go to a hockey school? Is it a matter of a few months, or how does it work? Like what's the length of term usually for them?
Usually hockey schools last 1 to 2 weeks, 3 hours ice time daily. Probably the cost is $350 to $500 depending on if there's food provided after you're done skating, if there's off-ice activities.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll come back to just what kind of food is served at hockey school. We'll be back right after this. Okay, we're back. You talking to me. I'm your host, Big JD, and right now talking to Brad Wiseman, hockey school instructor, coach, player, and we were actually talking about the food served at hockey school. No, I'm just kidding about that. We don't have to get into the type of food that's served. I'm sure for the money, it wasn't too bad. What can kids, what could they expect, like, say, on the first day of hockey school? Do you kind of sum the kids up, put them through a little bit of testing or something to see where they're at? Is that
just basic skating skills to see where they're at? And then you can divide the kids up who are maybe stronger skaters, put them with certain individuals, and weaker skaters together, so people aren't standing around waiting for other people to finish up their drills.
And what about kids? I mean, if you get a kid that's on his ankles, basically, do they get this far? Like, I mean, their parents maybe want them to go to hockey school to learn how to skate better or do this and do that. What happens with them? Or maybe if you have like two kids that are like horrible skaters, like, do you put them in a little group by themselves, or did you even see that?
I've seen a few kids that were ankle skaters, as you called them.
Yeah.
I just work with them best you can. Just tell them to keep trying and reinforcing good things that they're doing, and
right,
tell them that they'll get better. Practice and practice and practice.
And they do basically the same thing as the rest of the kids? Are they still in a group? Or?
Yeah, basically the same things, but a lot slower pace.
Okay. Do you work with other instructors while you're on the ice, or do you usually do you take a group, or do you work at different times than other instructors maybe? How's that work?
Depending on the drills we're doing, if it's skating drills, they're probably divided up. Each instructor gets X number of kids. Mm-hmm. Say if it's a passing drill, there might be two instructors there demonstrating it. So all depending on what is being taught that particular time.
Okay. And do you prefer teaching over playing?
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah. Teaching is a lot more fun, less strenuous on the body, and I just enjoy being around with kids.
Do you find you get a little more gratification maybe of passing on skills and teaching than you would of, say, maybe a game scoring a goal or something, or... Is it all?
At this stage of my life, yeah. When I was probably younger, scoring a goal was probably the bigger thing. But right,
winning the game and scoring the goal. And
right now, it's just passing something on that you've learned to younger kids.
And what did you mostly play when you were playing? What was your defense, wing?
I think when I first started, I played defense probably for a couple of years, but after that, it was usually center.
Okay. Score a lot of goals?
A fair share of my
Were you goals. Good? Yeah.
I was all right.
Not to toot your own horn, but...
Taught my brother everything he knows.
Did you? Is your brother playing still, by the way?
Or no, he's retired.
Yeah?
Yep.
Still working in that field somewhere?
No, he's totally out of hockey right now. He's working for an oil company in Houston, Texas.
Texas Oil.
Texas Oil.
Where better to work with oil than, aside from Iraq, of course. Let's move over to coaching, because as well, you've coached. How about how you got into coaching? Were you coaching before hockey school, or after that, or during?
The hockey school came after my coaching career started, I guess.
Okay.
I was at the ice park one day, talking to a guy working there, and he happened to coach my brother the couple years prior to that for a summer team, and just asked me if I was interested in helping out coaching, and I said sure, and 10, 12 years later.
You've been coaching for quite a while.
10, 12 years, yes.
Wow. How did you feel about your coaches when you were playing as a kid?
Dislike some, liked a few. So
I guess especially now when you're coaching and you're instructing, do you have maybe a different take now when you look back on remembering what, you know, what the coaches were like and their instruction and that kind of thing as you did when you were a kid? Or
yeah, it's probably the same now as it was back then to a certain extent. You'd question what some of the coaches were trying to tell you to do, but then you look back now, you're thinking, oh, that's what he wanted us to do. And
how old was it when you first started? Playing, like?
Playing?
Yeah.
Probably started skating when I was 3 or 4. Probably playing when I was like 5 or 6.
Okay, you were on the ice quite young.
Yes.
It's actually, I find it's cute, but it's really funny to see really, really little kids skating. You know, sometimes at the arena you see, even on like a free skate weekend or whatever it is, and these little kids are like 2 feet tall. Mm-hmm. They got a helmet on, you know, and they're just there to, you know, for fun skating, but they got a helmet and they're just flying around. I couldn't imagine skating like that at any age during my hockey career, as good as these little kids were. And they were like just a few years old. That's like little kid skiers when you see little kids skiing and they fly down the hill 1,000 miles an hour with no poles and they don't wipe out and I'll break a leg anytime. Did you find that there was any favoritism back then as far as with the players, the parents?
I guess there's favoritism to some extent. All the way up, depending who your coach is. I've had coaches where their sons were on the team. Mm-hmm. Might get a few more shifts here and there. If you want to call that favoritism, I guess you can.
Did you think about it as much then as you would like later on, or maybe look back and say, you know, yeah, there was a little bit of this? Because when I think back when I played, and I don't know, I still don't really recall any of that? I mean, I know that there was some good players, and whether their parents were more involved or not, like, I don't really know, but you knew that, you know, these kids are good, so he's the captain and he's the center, and he, you know what I mean, and I'm stuck back here as defense for 10 years. But do you look back now and see it different, or kind of the same?
That's kind of the same. Right now, when I was coaching, we had fair ice time, I guess, for everybody. Mm-hmm. But if we'd tell them, if you're not playing, you're not trying, giving 100% all the time, you're not going to play as much as someone else who is, and that person who is might not be as talented as the other guy. So,
right. Do you find, have you ever been like bribed or anything by parents, or say, hey, you know, I'll slip you this if you throw you a kid or do it?
No, not that I can recall.
No?
No.
You sure you don't want to answer that again?
Not that I recall.
We'll get into that later. So what's involved in coaching? Like, how much time is some coaching volunteer work? Do some do it as volunteers, or is it a paying gig? Or
it's all volunteer work, depending on your association.
Would the parents slip you? Okay, no.
Still waiting for that.
Yeah.
Usually, when I coached, since I didn't have any kids playing, mm-hmm. I got paid gas mileage. If we were for tournaments, I had my hotels paid for,
yeah.
My meals paid for. So that's basically the reimbursement I received.
Did you travel a lot coaching? Or?
Yes. We're probably on the AAA hockey or on the road probably, or at the rink 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Travel hockey for Ontario teams or whatnot? Did you travel like fairly long distances in Canada at all? Or was it like Ontario? Or how does that work? As far as your team?
First couple years of coaching with Sun County, we were in the Michigan Hockey League.
Oh, okay.
We had to travel to Chicago, Milwaukee,
okay, that's
Cleveland.
I was going to get to that if you guys went to the States at all and stuff. And did you, when you were playing, travel hockey as well? Did you travel the States? Or?
Yeah, I've traveled. Playing, you usually went to the States for tournaments.
Mm-hmm. So as far as coaching, what age group? Were you coaching a particular age group? Or?
When I first started out, I was coaching minor Adam age kids, which are 8 to 9 year olds, mm-hmm. and I've coached all the way up to major midget, which is 15, 16 year olds.
What about unmanageable kids? You come across that here and there? Or are they trying to tell you what to do maybe, or don't want to listen?
The Bantam midget age kids think they know more than anybody else, so they, you know, try to tell you how things are going to work. And
especially some of the really good players, kid players, do they get cocky? Do they get...
Maybe not so much the good players.
Okay, they have more discipline, perhaps.
Yeah, there's always a few cocky kids that think they're better than they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kids that give you the problem.
Okay. What about parents? Do they get a little unruly at times? Do you have sometimes a hockey mom or two get on your case maybe for...
In my coaching years and my 1 year of refereeing, I think all parents should drop their kids off the door and come back an hour later and pick them up.
Okay.
No, okay, let me rephrase that. Not all parents.
Right.
There's a handful that shouldn't be allowed,
mm-hmm.
just because they're obnoxious, and no matter what the situation is, whether their son Johnny scored a goal or took a penalty, the coach or the referee or someone, other player, did something to them that shouldn't have happened.
Right. Okay, we're going to get into opinionated parents coming up after this break, but I do want to ask you quickly about refereeing, because I know that that's the latest thing that you've been into. I believe.
Just started refereeing this past year.
Okay.
I enjoy it. I find it more enjoyable than coaching. At least I get paid for it now. But it's just seeing the different side of the game, and
okay.
It's a whole different ball game.
We'll come back to that and also introduce Tina Fryer to the program. This is Big JD. You're listening to You Talking to Me on the Altalk Radio Network. And we're back right now talking to Brad Wiseman. I just wanted to touch again really briefly on the refereeing thing. How'd you get involved in reffing? Again, a natural progression?
Yeah, I guess it's natural progression. I guess you can call it retired from playing a couple years ago. Just too old, got to get up for work the next morning, mm-hmm. and had some friends saying they were making a few extra bucks on the weekend refereeing.
So refereeing's a paying gig?
It's a paying gig,
right,
yes.
Right on.
Not much, but it's a paying gig.
Yeah. Is there? Is it a lot less stressful as far as coaching?
I find it less stressful. Just mm-hmm. like I have no allegiances to anybody, so
right,
whatever happens, happens.
Right, you're not you're not biased towards one side or anything.
No,
unless at some point in time you have your kid playing, and then it might be a different story.
We'll see.
I'd like to introduce now to the program Tina Fryer, a hockey mom that's probably just dying to get in on the conversation right about now, especially with us talking about the coaching thing and everything. And I'm sure you've seen quite a bit, as you have a son that's been playing hockey for a number of years.
7 years.
7 years
travel hockey.
Okay. Let's start by moving on to some points of view from your perspective. Your son's been playing for 7 years. What got him interested in the sport to begin with?
Well, single mom. He's an only child. Wanted him kind of around other kids his age. Built a little social scene. And he was on the ice, I think, skating in the back of the house on the river at 3 years old.
Oh, yeah?
So with a stick in his hand and with that big helmet bigger than him. And he wanted to do it. We put him in figure skating first, 2 years.
Him in figure skating?
Yeah, it was in figure skating 2 years. And the second year, he didn't want to do the show with all the girls because he was the only boy.
Okay.
And the third year, no way was he going anywhere near the girls.
Were you pointing at somebody?
I'm in the same situation as your son was. I took figure skating for 3 or 4 years. And
you did?
Yes. Okay. And they wanted to put
me in... I thought there was something funny about you. No.
They wanted to put me in figure skates one time. And as soon as that happens, like, that's it. No more. Hockey skates only.
They want to put you in figure skate at some time. Well, if you were taking figure skating anyway.
But they wanted me to do some of the carnivals and...
Oh, okay.
So
they didn't want to do that, eh?
No.
And you knew better than that at age 3 or whatever it was.
Yeah. Okay. There was no way I could twist his... So it was the hockey sticks and... Yeah. And
a hockey stick will make a man out of you.
Yeah.
And are you yourself into the sport outside of... Like maybe your son's career, like in the NHL thing, you watch the hockey games or?
I did. I was a big fan of Montreal Canadiens, Guy Lafleur when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. That was my hockey player. And then as soon as Brody was into the travel, it was Detroit Red Wings.
Right.
And then it was just him. It's just been him for the last 4 years.
Is he big into hockey outside of playing as well? I mean, as far as watching games or maybe going in?
He was. He was up until maybe last year and then it's...
Things have changed over time.
At 16.
Yeah. Where is he in his career at this point as far as where he is in the... I mentioned it was league, but you said tier, I guess.
He's midget. He was a midget major. Mm-hmm. And this year he doesn't want to play travel. He's done, but he does want to play high school.
Okay.
And that's about the general consent of the whole team. The whole 1990 babies are pretty much done in Amherstburg.
Is it because of their age only, or are there some other things that come into play there?
Politics.
And let's get into some of that politics. When we first discussed doing the show, there's other reasons why, first of all, why some parents maybe have their kids play, maybe to fulfill their own dream of maybe not being able to play now or something.
I'll be honest with you. I thought my biggest thing was, he could pay for his education, university scholarship in the States, you know, and be on a team, be affiliated with the team, and have his education paid for.
Right.
As for playing the NHL, well, that would have to come from him.
Right.
Like the
yeah.
passion in him to do that. But
I've actually heard that he is an exceptional player.
Yeah, he's good.
But this thing about the politics and you know, some of the things that are going on are reasons why
they've had
some
enough
of the kids
had enough. They in Amherstburg, I don't know, Brad. This year they've done the. Midget minor. Mm-hmm. They went to just a midget A and an AE team.
Okay.
So they took 15, 16, and 17-year-old boys to make two teams, dissolving three teams, which they could have in the major A, minor and major, right? Mm-hmm. You follow me here?
Yep.
So these 1990 boys, coming off a year of playing well together, they've been playing 7 years together, and the coach... who was my father, old school. The kids respected him. There was discipline. What happened in the dressing room stayed in the dressing room. The kids to this day see him on the street and call him coach. Well, they didn't give him the team the second year. Usually they give a team. A coach has a team for 2 years. Okay. They didn't give it to him. He was the type of man that the vice president could not pull strings. You know, he wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. And he was straight up, and because he didn't do what they wanted, there was a lot of backstabbing, a lot of lying, and these kids felt it in their year, in their major midget minor year. Mm-hmm. There was a handful of them that didn't make it for the major team. Brody was one of them, and he was okay with it. Mm-hmm. He was by far the biggest player there. He's the smartest player there, but he's not the most conceited, the most cockiest. And he didn't make it, and he knew he didn't make it because of his grandfather. They didn't want him to have anything to do with this team. And that team ended up folding in December. There was no more team. Mm-hmm. Boys didn't want to come out anymore. Didn't want to do practices, didn't want to do anything. This year, all those boys just want to play high school.
What happens when some of these kids don't want to play anymore? Do some of the parents freak out? And you know what I mean?
I am, because you try so hard. You've invested your time, you invested your money to have your kid focused and be part of a team,
right?
And not focus on what the other kids are going downtown on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had to worry about that. Brody was always in the arena practicing.
Right.
And on a Saturday night, he had a game. And a Sunday, he had practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his weekends are wide open. It's like, okay, I'm going to go, well, I'm going to go downtown.
I'm going to go experiment with drugs.
No, you're not. No, no you're not.
Right.
You know, and it's, everybody's, you know, they're getting their driver's license now. And, you know, things that I wouldn't have to worry about if Brody stayed in hockey.
Would you, if he is definitely not going to do that, would you maybe persuade him to take up another sport possibly or try something else?
He plays travel volleyball.
He does?
He does, but that still opens up a couple months that I need to worry about the weekends.
Uh-huh. Got to find somewhere to place him for a couple months.
But he was a good hockey player. He was a really, really good hockey player. And it takes one person, like everything in this world, to ruin it for one person. My kid, he's been around women all his life since he's growing up, single mom, and he's very emotional, very, very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget it, and either will he, where he was the biggest kid by far playing hockey, okay? He didn't have the heart to play, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The passion, like he wouldn't sleep with a hockey stick and he wouldn't, you know, turn TV on, but you told him what to do and he went out and did it. They told him to go out and hit. You got to hit, Brody, you got to hit. Mm-hmm. Brody's like, well, I don't want to hit anybody smaller than me. I just don't want to. So in a tournament in Bell River, he hits. Finally was told to hit, and he hit.
Mm-hmm.
Good, clean check. Well, the kid gets nailed. The ambulance is called. The stretcher comes out. The teams are both sent back to their dressing rooms. Everybody's high-fiving Brody, and I'm going, oh, boy, the worst thing that could happen for him, probably. No.
No?
The coach went in the dressing room and pulled him out. And made him go on the ice with the mother. I've never seen a parent be allowed on the ice.
Not apologize.
And apologize to that kid while that mother was bawling and crying. And that was when he was 13 years old. Now, what do you tell him? You tell him to go out and hit. Then you tell him to apologize. And you know what Brody asked me after the game? Because I couldn't run there fast enough. Because I was just so pissed off at the coach. Sorry.
That's okay.
For swearing.
That's right.
I was really pissed off because that's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
After the game, you go and find out, you shake his hand, you go see how he's doing, you ask the coach, which is what Brody said to me after the game. He goes, I would have done that, Mom. Like, I would have done that. Is that not what I should have done?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll never touch a kid again. His mother was crying. And that's what he remembered.
Wow.
You know, so you...
Body checking is part of the game and...
It is. It was a good, clean hit. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was going nuts because he had the kids, 15-year-old boys watching their game, and they were like, wow, what a hit. And just, that father, I'll tell you.
Just to butt in for 1 second here, yeah, I was reffing a few months ago, Adam age kids. One kid was probably 50, 60 pounds heavier than another kid, maybe a foot and a half taller, and they hit shoulders, and the smaller kid lost his balance and went into the boards.
Mm-hmm.
Not head first, but shoulder first. And everyone's yelling, check from behind, you gotta kick them out. It's like, no, they bumped into each other and the bigger kid just knocked the smaller kid down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair enough. Anytime that Brody went near a kid for that, like, because he was the bigger kid, he'd always be put in the penalty box. Now you're dealing with, you know, 15, 16-year-old kids, like you said, that are hard to handle, kind of know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, the emotion in the game and the adrenaline rush and how there's more fighting now than there's ever been. It's hard to handle these kids. You know, it's more about the punch than it is scoring the goal.
Exactly.
I just wanted to ask you quickly again, backing up a little bit. You obviously have a commendable reason why you, one of the reasons, I guess, why you wouldn't want them to stop playing. But what about some of the kids who don't want to play and their parents are upset with them for not wanting to play for other reasons, such as they're the ones that made them start in the first place? They wanted to be at the games for whatever reason. Maybe the father's too old now to play or something, and they live vicariously
through their kids.
Exactly. Do you see much of that?
There's a couple fathers that he still goes to the games. Like, his son didn't play at all last year.
And he's still there.
And he still goes to the games. And he goes, oh, I just can't get him to play. He goes, he hung up his skates and he's got his skateboard.
Well, that's a little wacky. We're going to come back to that after this break. Okay, Big JD here. You talking to me, talking to Brad Wiseman and Tina Fryer, all about hockey. I got to say, I hope I'm sort of holding my own here. A&E to me is a TV channel, and AAA is a battery, and caddy is a golf term. So I don't know where I'm at with all this, but we'll continue on here. Have you ever discussed some of these issues with other parents?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. We have parents meetings. We had, as bad as it was, we'd have a parent liaison the last 2 years of hockey.
Somebody to keep everybody from hitting each other? Is that what they...
Well, the parent would, instead of going to the coach, if he had issues, you go to the parent liaison, he will go
right
and talk to the coach.
So you didn't have 20 people yelling right. and screaming.
The liaison was like the buffer between the irate parent and the
right.
and the coach.
Yep.
Sort of like a union company.
Sure.
Our guy was a lawyer.
Oh,
father
yeah.
was a lawyer.
Well, that's
he was good,
I guess,
he was
yeah.
good.
Ours was a police officer, so...
There you go.
They know who to pick for this anyways. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to a favoritism. With the refs, the coaches, how are parents coping and dealing with this? And like, what do you see exactly going on as far as some of the favoritism that comes into play during the games and the politics?
The coaches, it's basically the coaches' sons. That's okay. who gets, you know, double shifted. Pretty much that's it. Just the favoritism there. There's no...
And when that kind
teams,
of...
Teams pick the captains. Mm-hmm.
And these are the kind of things that the liaison helps with?
Yes. But as they get older, there's a team meeting before even games start. And, when they get older, they need to realize that if you want to get out and play, you got to play harder. You got to practice harder. Parents got to understand that. Some parents don't. Some players that are affiliated with the team mm-hmm. that can come out and practice
right.
and may get called up still have a chance to be on the team. But those are the parents that have more to say to anybody else. Like, mm-hmm. why isn't my kid being called up? You know, why isn't he not playing? You know, he does come to practice. He does go to tournaments. And
do team sponsors come into play at all with favoritism in any way, or where things or money is allocated? And how does
yeah,
some of that
fit in? Yeah, just in the last couple of years.
Yeah?
Yeah. Last year I was surprised how there was fundraising for the team, for our kids, for us to go get sponsors for our kid. Parents donating more money. Some kids would walk in with all matching hockey bags and jackets and hats and,
right.
you know, the rich parents that can fund that. But nobody sees that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody sees that.
And that's like what I was asking Brad earlier about maybe any bribes or have you heard or seen anything of bribery at all to have kids
do? I don't think I would call it a bribe.
Right.
Because I don't think they'll, you know, here, I'll slip you $1,000, you put my kid on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's known.
Right, okay.
A little bit of maybe networking.
Or it's something like, I'll sponsor your team $5,000 if Johnny makes the team.
Without even okay. saying that, they'll just say, I'll sponsor you $5,000 before tryouts are.
Right.
You know,
and then it's just, well, obviously wow. known that, you know, well,
yeah,
his kid's playing and...
Just okay. recently, though, just in the last couple of years, I'm really, wow, really surprised.
Must sort of be a shock. I mean, I don't know if I was just oblivious when I was a kid or, and I recently asked my mom about this from when I was playing. And she said, I don't know, I guess it wasn't like that. She said it was just all a game and it was all pretty much fun. But that was a long time ago. Won't say exactly how long, but it was quite a while back. So I don't know. It was kind of a for fun thing and not so much, you know, I mean, I wasn't a great player and I wasn't, you know, the captain of a team and I wasn't. Traveling and you
none
know what I mean? So
that,
it might be different. I don't know.
None of that stuff should matter whether you're a captain or great. It's all about fun. It's all for the kids.
Once like, the fun's gone.
Yeah. Like you touched on before, the politics and the favoritism. You have kids like Brody and a couple of his friends not playing anymore.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate.
Because the fun is not there.
And if you're overall a poor player, how does there any justification if the kids put into, you know what I mean?
I mean, Brody had, I've sent Brody to invest in him going to hockey school.
Right.
He went to hockey camps in the summer and mm-hmm. he did his power skating, on a school night. Like, we invested in that. If your kid is a weak player and you see it, he can always get better with the right training.
Right. But I mean, as far as favoritism is concerned, throwing a kid in to do certain things that, you know, obviously like somebody like your son or a better player maybe should be doing and they put a poor quality player in maybe,
They put the coaches.
Seems no justification.
The coach's best friend's
son. Does it happen?
It happens.
I see you smiling over there, Brad. What's up?
It's unfortunate.
It happens depending on the situation, the time of the game, and the game itself.
Yeah.
If it's just an exhibition game, league game, where nothing matters, if win or lose, then everyone should play. But if it's, say it's a tournament, a semifinal game, you need to win to make it to the finals.
But I'm not saying put in somebody better. just because, you know, of who he is, but I'm saying put in a worse player maybe, sometimes, just because of who he is. Yet it's
the
you
team.
Know.
The teams I've been involved with, some of the kids who were on the, if you want to say the lower end of the talent scale, they knew that part of the game that they might sit so we could get a goal or prevent a goal. They were fine with that, so they could play the next game.
Yeah.
So we had no problems with that, and most of the time the parents are all right with that too.
How about issues with travel hockey itself? Has anything different come in there, or is it all kind of the same thing?
What do you mean with?
I don't know. Is travel hockey any different? I mean, it's the same, I guess, the same coaches, the same people.
Oh, yeah. There's not really anything. Oh, yeah. I mean, I commend all those coaches that spend the time, take their time out of their family life and go out and coach these kids. But God, set an example. You know, when they get older, they know that they have to go out there and put 150% to be out there. Don't put that kid out there that shouldn't even be out there. Like,
I know sometimes the kids are probably caught in between here, but do the kids always realize as much as the parents are realizing what's going on, you know, kind of?
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They do. They do.
Yeah.
And then you don't get that flow and that fun anymore in the you know, in the dressing room. It's supposed to be fun, but you know, this kid, they're not talking to this kid anymore, and then it goes out into high school. You know, it goes out into high school and the social scene.
And aside from some of the parents being more involved in sponsoring or money or putting up cash or doing whatever they do, is it sometimes prominent people in the community, like doctors and lawyers' kids and things like that?
Business owners. Mm-hmm.
And just because of who they are, sometimes things are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about what could make things better. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things, but I mean,
more mothers coaching. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Sure. If they know their stuff.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. What can make it better? Leave the politics out of hockey and mainly just let the kids have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to old school.
Yeah.
It seems like sometimes there's a little too much seriousness in the, this isn't NHL. You know, this is, a lot of it should be a fun period in the kid's life.
You should see the
playing
the stress
hockey when you're a kid.
Brody was 8 years old and he had to have, they all had to have matching pants and matching shoes and matching shirts and matching hats and matching leather coats. And I'm like, he's only 7 years old. The way these, you're going to be growing, like, let's have something that we can all, you know, pay for and afford. Right. Like, just.
See, we had that too when I was coaching younger kids. Each parent is told that, okay, the kid's going to get a hat, jacket, bag, whatever, tracksuit, and they had the opportunity to go fundraise, or we have team golf fundraiser or whatever. And if you didn't want to do it, you just cut the team a check. But being, I didn't mind having everyone wear the same because you look like a team. If you look like a team, you played like a team, and just kind of intimidate some of the other teams who come in with grubby track pants or ripped jeans. And
well, what was wrong with just everybody wearing being dressed up nice?
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know what I mean? It was, I think it's gotten a little bit too out of hand. You know, when it was last year, it was, you know, just wear a suit. I mean, not even wear a suit, but dress pants and a tie and a white shirt and a tie.
If they all look the same
They do. They look like a team, but we didn't have to pay that extra, you know, because some kids couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. That and hockey, they just could not afford it.
If someone is upset, someone's irate or whatever, I mean, I'm sure they know some of the avenues like this liaisons to help discuss some of these things, but is there any place else that somebody can turn to if they're having an issue or their son's like, you know, I don't want to play anymore? Is there somebody else to talk to or just the parents in general, maybe some that feel the same, to take it from there? Or like, what do you,
I've sent the president tons of emails.
There you go, the president.
Tons.
That's where you go, right? To the president.
Not Bush.
The president of Canada.
Yes. You go to the president of the Minor Hockey Association and express your concerns or whatever you have and see how it handles from there.
Yeah, quite a few times I have. You know, I really wish, and maybe it still will happen, that these 1990 boys will like get together and pick their coach and play the last year. I mean, they're good. They're solid. A couple of AAA players, too, that have come down. They want to play with the original team again.
Well, maybe things will change. Maybe they won't. Hopefully they do. It's been an interesting topic of discussion and sort of eye-opening a little to me because I've been kind of out of the hockey thing for quite a while, and I'm sure to a lot of our listeners. And I really appreciate you guys taking out the time to appear on the show. Thanks a lot, Brad. Thanks a lot, Tina.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Big JD.
Big JD.
We'll see you next week, folks. I'm Big JD. You Talking to Me on the All Talk Radio Network.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD. A different topic, a different guest every week right here on the All Talk Radio Network. For more information, visit the website www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me. Youtalkingtome.ca.